There was a pastor who was preparing pancakes for her young sons, and the boys began arguing over who was going to get the first pancake. And the mother saw this opportunity to teach a lesson. And she said, if Jesus was sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. So the younger boy turned to his brother and said, all right, you be Jesus. We're talking about giving here and generosity. Generosity and giving. And I wonder, coming in today, I know that this is a very generous church. I know that it has a spirit of generosity amongst it. And it is a very caring church and a very giving church. So in some ways, I'm preaching to the choir. But I want us to understand a little bit about why we are a giving church. Why we are generous and where it comes from. But I think that God kind of makes us personalities a little bit differently. I noticed this when I went on holidays once. Actually, can I have my first slide, thanks? Actually, it'll probably be the second slide, I reckon. Yeah. I noticed this when I went on holidays. My kids are made differently. Now, I'm not going to say which kid did what, but my boys are wired differently. God wired them differently. When we go on holidays, they generally get some spending money that they might get from their grandparents, and it's interesting for Nicole and I to see how they might spend it. And with one of my kids, we were lucky enough to go to Disneyland, thanks to Nicole's parents one time. And if you've ever gone to Disneyland, there's the Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters ride, and that was pretty much the first ride we went through. And it was pretty exciting. And just like if you've ever been to Disneyland or these sorts of places, as soon as you finish the ride, which doesn't take very long, and it takes a longer to line up to get there, but as soon as you get out, which is really exciting, the first thing you come out into is, guess what? Shops, selling all the stuff that you've just spent an hour looking at and then 3 minutes going through. You have a shop to buy all that experience over and over again if you want to. And one of my sons saw this, right? And he just wanted it straight away. This was like the first, pretty much second day of our holiday and the first shop that we've been to. He sees it. The first thing he sees, yep, won the Buzz Lightyear laser thing that it does, and spent all his money, or most half his money anyway, on it straight away. My other son, he on a different sort of holiday, he would save up it. And one time, actually, it was towards the end of the trip, that he saw these sterling silver kookaburra earrings. Now, he doesn't like kookaburra earrings for himself, but he wanted to get them for his mum. And he didn't want to spend. I was like, oh, you can spend money on yourself. You can get, like, lollies or whatever you want. But no, he really wanted to get this. And I was like, it's quite an extravagant present in some ways. But it shows that that's what he did. That's what he really wanted to do. It was spend his money on someone else. God has made our personalities kind of different. One's generous, and it doesn't mean that the other one, we don't love him less or anything. I wonder who you are. Our cultures are wired differently too, aren't they? Nicole's parents went to Fiji once, and tells a story of her mum walking into a Fijian house, and she saw a painting on a wall. And she said, this is complete strangers. They have known Nicole's grandparents. So pretty much complete strangers to them. And mum was saying how beautiful this painting was. You know, as you do when you're walking into a house, you're polite and nice, and you say, oh, that's a really nice painting that you have on the wall. And being Fijian culture, what you know what they would do, took the painting off, gave it to them. That's just their generosity. We wouldn't do that in Australia too much, would we? But in Aboriginal culture, Australian Aboriginal culture, I don't know if this is true or not. I tried to look through the internet, but I remember learning this, that in some Aboriginal languages, they don't have a word for mine. They don't have a concept of mine, but it's always ours. There's not that same sorts of sense of ownership that it's mine to have for me, but it's ours for the whole community. Whereas in the kind of culture that I grew up in, I reckon the word mine is one of the first thing kids learn, isn't it? Mine! It doesn't matter if it's their toy or not. It's mine! It's mine! It's mine! It's mine! Reminds me of that Pixar movie with the seagull was going, mine, 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 mine. That's what I was taught. That it's mine. So God's wired us differently. But I want us to think about, are we living in a give culture or a take culture? What's our attitude towards generosity and giving? And can it be changed? Paul is writing to a church in Corinth. This is his second letter that we have in the Bible. I think that's there. And he's actually asking them to give some money for another church. Now, he's been around collecting money for a church in Jerusalem. You know, the church in Acts, we had Pentecost a few weeks ago. And that church that was birthed out of that place, they started selling everything they had and giving it away to each other, and they shared stuff. But after a few years, they didn't have anything anymore. They'd got rid of it all, but they were sort of living in poverty. So Paul would go around asking these churches to collect some money, to give some money for them, for that church back in Jerusalem. And he's imploring them to say, please, please give, and please do it with the right heart. And it seems like here's a culture that is kind of giving, but kind of not as well. They sort of have a generous attitude, but they sort of need a little bit of a nudge as well. Maybe a little bit like our culture. And if you read it, it says things like, God loves a cheerful giver, which is actually a quote of Proverbs 22:8. But it's not found in our Bible. If you look at Proverbs 22:8, you won't see it there. It's actually in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Bible, the Greek translation of the Hebrew. But the Hebrew doesn't actually have it, and I'm not sure why. It's just what it is. But if you look at the gist of the whole chapter of 22, when you see things quoted in the New Testament, think you've got to explore more than just that little quote. Explore the whole chapter. The whole context of it. So chapter 22 of Proverbs has things like talking about the importance of giving to the poor. It says this, choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. Or the rich and poor have this in common, the Lord has made them both. Or verse 9, blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. A person who gets ahead by oppressing the poor, by showering gifts on the rich, will end in poverty. So it's talking about giving in an attitude of for those who are in needy. Then he goes on, and he talks about reaping what you sow. Reap generously, and you sow. Sow generously, and you reap generously. If you sow poorly, then you'll reap poorly. You get out what you put in. Now I know living up in the Eyre Peninsula. Last year, if you talk to some of the farmers in Cleve, they would say that's really not the case every year. There's sometimes when they have droughts and it doesn't work as well as you think. But if you ask around, generally, if you put a lot of seed in the soil, you'll get plenty back. And if you don't put a little bit in, then you won't get very much. And it's a good attitude to have towards life, towards friendships, towards our attitudes of others. If we're friendly and generally give a bit of ourselves to others, then you actually get something back. If we're hired away all the time, then we probably don't get much back. But here he's talking about our generosity in terms of our finances and our giving. And if you look through it, there's three knots, and there's three good things about giving and three not so good things about giving. So it says, don't give as an expectation or covetously. Don't give wanting. This didn't quite get read out, and that was my fault there. Verse 5 says this, So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. This is talking about the gift given to the church in Jerusalem. Then I'll be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given or covetously given. Given in a way that you kind of actually don't really want to give it, and you kind of wish you didn't have to. It says, don't give sparingly, verse 6. Don't give reluctantly, begrudgingly, again, verse 7. But give as a willing gift. Give generously, bountifully. Give cheerfully. Notice that first list of three, the gift is still being given, isn't it? The gift is still being given. But actually, Paul's saying, you know, I'd rather you just didn't give it all. Actually, it's not about the money, it's about the heart. It's about why you're doing it in the first place. And I'd much rather you give with a generous kind of heart and just joyfully and with an attitude of, wow, God's blessed me, I want to bless others. And if you're giving grudgingly and not so, like actually you probably didn't want to give that away, then don't bother. Ask Jesus to change your heart. John Piper puts it like this. He says that, I'll move it on. If you summarize those things, it's kind of like a magnet. If there's a magnet in your heart, you know how magnets, if you turn it one way, it attracts everything to it, just like this magnet here is attracting all those paper clips to it. And sometimes our hearts are a bit like that. We actually want to accumulate stuff, be possessed by our possessions. But flip it around and the magnet makes everything go away and sends it out to others. So sometimes I think we need God to just move our heart around and send it away and be generous, not one that attracts everything to us. If you think about it, how does this happen? If you really reflect on what Jesus has done to you and done for you, then you cannot help but have a heart of generosity. Let me explain. If you look at the word gift, there's six places where you can see the word gift and Jesus being used. I'm going to read them all out to you. In Luke, it says that Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks for it, and then he broke it into pieces and he gave it to his disciples and he said, this now is my body, what for? Which is given for you. Do this whenever you eat it in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup of wine. He said, this cup of the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Now, he's not just talking to his disciples in that room, but he's talking to all of us here. Galatians says, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been sacrificed. This is Paul talking about himself, my old, and about us as Christians. Our old selves have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for every one of us. You're seeing a pattern here? Ephesians says this, walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, we've got to do the same. In other words, Jesus poured out completely his life into us. And we can just say, thank you, Lord. and that's it. Or else we can go, actually, you know, this love that Christ is filling me up with is here to overflowing, and it's got to overflow to others. And it overflows as a generous, giving heart. We've got to give it away, as that song says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. 1 Timothy, he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And finally in Titus, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. If this is the first time you've heard this kind of message, then thank God that you've heard it. Jesus gave his life for you right now to say goodbye to your old life and hello to your new life. A new life that's full of love, that's full of hope, that's full of joy. Jesus gave it all so that you can be free. And your response is, thank you, Lord, I want that new life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for giving up your life for me. Fill me to overflowing. Jesus is the free gift. We don't do anything to deserve it. And we reflect that same nature in everything we do. We're made in the image of God. Jesus is trying to make disciples, people who follow him, people who look like Christ. So if that's what Christ has done for us, we need to look like that for others. To be generous in all that we are. I want to finish with a story from Wesley. John Wesley is the founder of Methodism. And he's got some great stuff to say about money, actually. Actually, I meant to do the next one there. And he was at Oxford University in Lincoln College there. And he actually started to get a fairly reasonable wage of £30 a year, which is more than enough for a single man to live on. And he seemed to enjoy his relative prosperity. He spent his money on playing cards, tobacco, and brandy, it says. But while at Oxford, there's an experience that changed his attitude towards money, particularly. He was getting some new pictures put in his room. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have looked like that, and his room wouldn't have looked like that. But I didn't have a photo of his room at that time. But the person who was putting the pictures in, and there was a chambermaid that also came in, and he noticed that the chambermaid had a very thin dress on, and it was cold, probably colder than what we had this morning outside. If you've ever been to England, that's one of the words that come to mind is cold. It was cold, and he actually felt really pricked in his spirit about this. It says, and this is his words, he asked himself, will thy master say, well done, good and faithful steward, thou hast adorned thy walls with the money which might have screened this poor creature from the cold? O justice, O mercy, are not these pictures the blood of this poor maid? That's a pricked conscience, isn't it? And from then on, he actually changed his attitude towards finances and money. So remember how much I said that he earned? £30. He gave away £2. So he lived on £28 and he gave away £2. As he started to become more popular and his writings were selling around the country as well, he started to increase his wealth. And the next year, his third year, his income jumped to £90 from £30. Do you know what he did? He lived on £28 and gave the rest away. He didn't increase his his level of living, his standard of living. He increased his standard of giving. So earned 90 pounds, gave away 62. In the fourth year, he received 120 pounds. He lived on 28 pounds and gave away 92 pounds. 1 year, his income was 1,400 pounds. Do you know what he did? Do you think he said, "Oh, look, I deserve a bit of a treat"? No, he didn't. He lived on 28 pounds and gave, you can do the maths, the rest away. He had an attitude of giving. He knew what Jesus had done for him. And he had this sense of stewardship. And he said, "No, my level of living will increase if I increase my level of giving." And that's how we live. I'm inspired by that. I'm challenged by it, though. I can't say, yes, I do that exactly that same way. No way. But I'd like to. I see that and I go, "Please, Lord, let me have a heart a bit like that." Maybe you're challenged by that too. I want to pray now and complete this part of the sermon, but I've got some more to say about the offering, okay? And that's kind of more for those people who have been coming here to church and call this place their home. And that's about stewardship. But I want to complete this sermon about giving. Is that okay? So let me pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for giving it in a way that we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, we don't actually even ask for it. In fact, the very opposite. But you love us so tremendously. You poured out yourself into our lives. And for that, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And fill us not just to the top, but to overflowing. That we read and hear about Wesley and what he did as his standard of, as his income increased. And he increased his standard of giving, and we're challenged by that. Holy Spirit, help us to be inspired and encouraged to do the same. Lead us, Lord. And help us to have a heart that is not just wanting stuff for ourselves, a heart of selfishness, but a heart that pushes it out to others. Holy Spirit, help us with that. And we confess that at times we have been selfish in our attitudes, selfish with what we have, with our money, with our possessions, with our time, with our talents. And we're sorry for that, Lord. Let us hear your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness. Let us say thank you to you and help us and encourage us for the future to change our hearts. Oh God, we pray. Amen. So we are doing a stewardship series, and it is about giving our finances regularly to the church. And there was the offering was once being taken up in a church, and this little boy was there for the first time, and he saw the ushers taking up, just as you've just seen then. And the kid says, "Daddy's all right, you don't have to pay for me, I'm under five." The reason why we're doing this here, this financial idea of giving is it's the end of the financial year. Coming to the end of the financial year, you'll see all the ads about that. You can buy a car for cheap, apparently. And it's a great time. We don't have a harvest Thanksgiving so much here in Burnside because we don't see the harvest in the same way that they do in the country. But in some ways, this is kind of like a harvest. It's a time to you get the checks at the end of the financial year and the group certificates, and you see how much you earned. And it's a great way to say thank you, Lord, for what you've given for us, and also to reassess what's your giving to the church like. Does it match up with how much you earned the year that's just gone? Does it need to be increased? Does it need to be decreased? Is it like, whoa, actually, no, I don't think we can afford this in the same way. And that's okay too. You may not get a preacher to say that very often, but it's okay to give less if need be. So every couple of years at Burnside City, we do have a stewardship program. And it is a great time to re-examine it. Nicole and I will do the same. And I want you to do it prayerfully as well. In the package that you can receive, there's a prayer guide there that goes through 5 days of praying, just very simple prayers, and asking God, what do you want us to give this church? But I'd like to give you a few reasons why giving the church is a helpful thing to do. I like to be a person of integrity as much as I possibly can. So I need to say up front that Nicole and I wouldn't say something for you to do that we're not willing to do ourselves. So we do give regularly to this church as well. I should also say that I'm the sort of pastor who doesn't like to know what everyone else is giving. We have a recorder for that, and that's Ray over there. And I'm really thankful that this church has a recorder because I don't need to know if this family is giving far more than that family because in the back of my head, as much as I'll try to be just discerning between and really not weight things, I can't trust that I would. You know, I might end up gravitating towards this family rather than that family. I don't want to have to do that. So I'm really excited that we have a recorder and I don't know those sorts of things. But Jesus actually talked a lot about money. It says that the Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, there's some 500 verses on faith, but 2,000 verses on money and possessions. Jesus taught a lot about where he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I think Jesus in all this is saying what you do with your money is actually a reflection of your discipleship, of your growth as a Christian. Why give to Burnside City Uniting Church? Giving is more than money. It's part of your time and your treasure and your talent. It's out of a generosity. It's contributing to the work of God. It's about God and not us. The other thing is that I know that there's lots of causes that will knock on your door, send you emails, put things in your letterbox saying, this is a great cause, please give to this. I know you know how much other causes there are, and they're all great causes. Thing is about a lot of those other ones is they can go to a lot of other people to get finances, to finance what they're doing. Burnside City can only go to Burnside City people. The people around you are the only ones that we can ask to set this dream on fire of what we have for our church. And that's the other thing I want to finish by saying is that I think God has a dream for this place. It's been lived out already. It's a great place to be. I'm really enjoying ministering here. We've been blessed by this wonderful building that is debt-free. That's really exciting, and that shows how generous this place is. Now we need to really use it as best we possibly can and use the resources around us. And I still see empty seats here. I still, in each of those empty seats, I see souls that are just waiting to come home to God. I see people that are right now somewhere else, and they think they're kind of maybe having a good time, but they don't have a real hope in their hearts, a hope in their souls, a hope for eternity, and they're trying to find it in other places. And I think that God wants to fill this place. I trust that, and I see a vision for our place that there's more to this church than just us. In a few next term, we're going to be running Alpha. Actually, I didn't play the Alpha video. We'll play that next week. I think we'll play that next week. And you'll see a story of how Alpha has a way of that's an introduction course to Christianity. It's about asking questions to a whole group of people and getting those questions answered. It's about loving people into the kingdom. It's about not winning the argument, but winning the person. And it's been used throughout the world to show who Jesus is and to bring people home. And we're going to be starting to do that here next term, and we're hopefully next year we'll run a couple of more alphas, and then the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that. And we'll do baptisms here. And we'll see people saying, yes to Jesus, I find freedom in you. Thank you, Lord. Thing is, this dream of raising children of God, it needs people. It needs volunteers, but also needs some paid staff as well. And if you read through that stewardship program stuff, you'll start to get a glimpse of that. Let me finish. Can I have the band up ready to sing the next song? That'd be great. Finish by saying the message that we had from 2 Corinthians. When it comes to giving, do it generously, bountifully, but not out of a sense of duty. Out of a sense of a heart that wants to give. And I think that's really important. Let me pray. Lord God, give us some time to really consider our giving here at Burnside City, to think about what it means to give to you, to worship you in our offering, to give with a heart that is generous, and to catch a glimpse of what you want for this place. Lord, help us to make space to listen to you in these next few weeks. Amen.